sign not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. You want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Text me. I got some texts outstanding. We'll get to those, I promise, in due course of the program. Still come here in about an hour. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, will make time for us. So please stick around for that. But joining us now on the line, he represents Dadeville, Tallapoosa County, areas around there. Always a pleasure to bring on my friend, State Representative Ed Oliver. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Hey, thanks for hopping on. I always appreciate your time. Well, before we get into it here, how's your off season been?
As busy as usual. You know, all the things you neglected while you're in session, you have to take care of while you're in the off season. But we're having a lot of fun.
Well, it's typically not a time to rest, but just as far as like a news gathering perspective, it does seem relatively quiet. I guess there's a lot of municipal elections, and this 26 cycle is getting underway. And it probably takes a little of the spotlight off of you guys.
It does. And remember, I live in a rural district, so I've got a lot of things going on here that nobody else in the state's interested in, as well as I've got the chronic weight loss and adult onset diabetes task force. And being chairman of Military and Veterans Affairs, that never stops. You know, we're already working on the legislation that comes up next session.
Well, you feel pretty good about where that is right now, not to digress, but where the new sort of configuration of Veterans Affairs is?
Yes, sir. You asked me that in about 2 years, and you'll probably get a more definitive answer.
I guess it's the initial phases of it seem to be working as expected.
Yes, I would say we've got you always try to surround yourself with the best and brightest, and I think we've done that at this point.
Well, I guess to be continued there. The reason I want to get you on, and I know you're well aware of this, and this is something you really took charge on going back a few years, and we went through this. It really seemed to kind of heat up during the COVID pandemic, but the DEI complex, the DEI industrial complex within government, particularly in the state of Alabama, and you were the architect here of a divisive concepts bill to try to eradicate some of that from government. You finally were successful a couple of years ago. You and Senator Barfoot from Montgomery, y'all were handed a big win, I believe, here earlier this week.
You're talking about the 11th Circuit decision not to go forward with the injunction.
Right.
I think that was a big win, and I think that sets the tone for us going forward.
Yeah, and I essentially you had some professors and some students who wanted to put a stay on the implementation of this law, and because they had litigation going, and they for whatever reason had the expectation that the litigation needed to run its course before the state could move forward, but Judge Proctor rejected that.
Absolutely, and I was very proud of his statement. Of course, it was a lot longer than we expected, but he did agree that the language was not vague and that we said what we meant to say. And I think that was the most important part of the bill is that we can use that bill as a tool. The language is descriptive enough that people understand what it means and can comply with the law.
Well, I tell you, I and I'm a little surprised. I guess I shouldn't be, or maybe I should be. I don't know. A lot of these a lot of these guys in Alabama state government, including Auburn and Alabama, seem to be going along with it and not fighting it at all. That, you know, the legislature has spoken, and we're going to do our best to comply with the law.
They are. And now, remember, these are huge organizations and got all kinds of DEI folks intermingled with them. So it'll take a couple of years to root them out and figure out. In other words, that's another thing. A year or two from now, we should see a completely different picture.
Yeah, I agree. But I you know, whenever we raise one of these concerns in our reporting at 1819 News, we'll get a statement from the university, and then it's always with an assurance that we're working to, you know, make sure that this isn't a commonplace occurrence. You know, these some of these quotas or some of the content they're teaching. And I tell you this, all of the naysayers, representative, who were warning the worst in how education and everything was going to be hurt. I mean, we're not really seeing the doom and gloom that we were told was going to occur.
I would tell you, in my district, teachers seem to be thrilled that that's just another thing they don't have to worry about that's not on their plate anymore. So, and I think for the benefit of kids, to not have some radical left-winger or right-winger trying to force them into sending to some sort of political theory or view. I think those are things we just don't need in school.
Well, and here's what I also, I mean, maybe this is sort of kind of from the outside looking in, that, you know, this stuff is costly to implement some of this DEI policy. I mean, you have to use resources, you have to hire people, you have to create whole new departments. And when you're one of these big government institutions, be it the academy, be it, you know, some agency or whatever, this is something they were having to put money they were coming to you guys from the general fund into, and now they don't have to do that anymore. And I think there's something there to be said that they were only going along with it. Well, who knows why? It was sort of a cultural thing, but now they don't have to do this anymore.
No, and it gets us away from everybody wins, the competition, and the best people, the brightest people can succeed and get the credit they deserve. This everybody gets a trophy philosophy, that's just not a way to live your life.
No, and returning to, like, meritocracy, I mean, you know, you can't do it everywhere, but it seems like this idea ought to be something that the government in Alabama, a red state, a conservative state for the most part, should be a simple thing to do. But, I mean, it hasn't been simple, but it does seem to be something that you would have universal, or not even universal, but broad, very broad majority, overwhelming majority support for.
Absolutely. And I would tell you, even within the education system, particularly higher education, we're finding a lot more allies than enemies. I think the folks that are bringing lawsuits like the one we've just talked about, I just don't think they are going to be in the majority as we move forward.
No.
Well, in that education setting.
Well, I think, you know, administration even, they're, you know, they will tell you we're doing our best, and, you know, they're real careful when they respond to some of this. And you hear, you know, very anecdotal things coming out of Auburn, Alabama, UAB. But they acknowledge that, you know, we're working toward it. And like you said, it does seem like it's going to be a matter of years, not days, if you will.
Right. No, I'm prepared for the long haul. Remember, I carried that bill for 3 years, passed it twice in the House, and could not get it passed in the Senate. So in 24, we just simply started the bill in the Senate. Senator Barfield did a great job with it. And then when I got it to the House, it was the same old fight, but we were prepared to pass it.
Well, tell me, now it's been here for a couple of years. I mean, are you generally pleased with the effect? Does it need tweaking, or does something additionally need to happen?
The additional things are ongoing. We are very engaged with our major institutions. There's a constant dialogue with the administrations of our flagship universities. I really think that we are moving along at a very positive pace.
So there's no tweaking or anything like that necessary from you guys in the Alabama legislature?
We were prepared to bring additional legislation, but some things have changed. You know, there's a new president at the University of Alabama. There's a general consensus that this is going to be the law of the land. And I think the universities would rather get back to teaching and teaching subject matter that is fulfilling and has some purpose and get away from the DEI stuff altogether. So that's we're seeing that shift.
Well, that's the added implied threat here is if you don't get on board, well, we're doing the ETF, we're looking at the Education Trust Fund. I mean, you could be on the chopping block if you don't go along with you don't consent to the wishes of the legislature. I mean, you know, what kind of teeth this law has or what kind of, you know, enforcement. But one of the things I think these guys look at, they say, you know, we don't want to upset these guys in the Alabama legislature because they very well could slice and dice up some of our funding.
Not just the universities. That also applies to every state agency. People have always said, what kind of teeth have you got in this legislation? It's dollars. And absolutely, that puts everybody on notice. We're watching.
And, you know, beyond the university setting, which where a lot of this seems to be, the discussion seems to be focused throughout the rest of government, too, though. I mean, are you seeing the same level of compliance?
I do. I think compliance, that's one of the things you measure in inches instead of yards. But it is has been a good initial shift. The last year, I think, has really been good for us. And I think right now, and I think a lot of that is Trump. You know, anti-CRT, anti-DEI, it's sort of a revolution that happened to coincide with the passage of this bill.
Yeah, because you're not only when you have these sort of structures within your government, within your government agencies, you're only tinkering with the possibility of having your state funding taken away, but so much of it is, like you say, federal funding. And that seems to be the way to get these guys' attention. Hey, you need to go along with this. You need to focus on your core function, or, you know, you're gonna get your bottom line is going to get hit.
Well, we'll quit wasting the taxpayers' money on your little I'm trying not to say it in such a derogatory term, but in some left-wing political beliefs. Now, this is all anti-Marxism, and that's I'm very proud to make that the enemy here. And I think it's just really important. It doesn't take long for a generation to forget who we are. And as you see from national news now, as you look at the Democrats, they've just lost sight of what freedom really is.
Yeah, it's sort of, I think, you know, we could talk about right versus left or conservative versus liberal, Democrat versus Republican, but there's like a tangible, you feel it trend in the entire country pushing back against trying to do this. And it may be, you know, sometimes these guys go, they cross a boundary, they go too far, and the Trump administration and, you know, some of the actions from the Alabama legislature just it should be, but for whatever reason, they catch these guys off guard. That should be the anticipated response.
Absolutely. I think the country as a whole, I say as a whole, we've always got states that are going to be liberal, and it's almost like they stay awake at night and try to think of what the most ridiculous thing they can do to move farther to the left is. I'm just very happy we have a core number of states that have embraced the anti-CRT, anti-DEI legislation, and make that a centerpiece of their culture. I believe that's just incredibly important in this day and age.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing about Alabama and Alabama's role here, as you know, you could pick like a handful of states and you look at the vote totals and the way they went Trump versus Harris or Trump versus Biden or Trump versus Clinton even, and, you know, they're red states, they're conservative states, and those would have to be the states that kind of have to lead the way on a lot of this.
Absolutely. That falls to us. Colorado's not going to do it. You know, that's California's not going to do it. So that's where the battle is right now.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just like it does seem like the trend in the country from the public. And we know where it is here in Alabama, but I think it's universal. I don't, you know, people act like this is some kind of, especially the media, act like this is some kind of infringement on, you know, First Amendment or whatever they want to call it. But it's not.
That's exactly the opposite.
You're fulfilling the wishes, the consent of the governed, right?
Right, and this bill prevents compelled speech, which once again is a violation of your constitutional rights. No teacher in a college should be able to tell a student, you will agree with this or you get a D. And that's what we were trying to do away with. We just took that tool away from the Marxists.
Yeah, well, it's been going on for too long. Representative, you've been very kind to make time for us this morning, and let's catch up again soon.
I appreciate it very much, and I thank you, and glad to answer any questions you have. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for making time. State Representative Ed Oliver there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh, so right.